from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. This week marked Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker's 7th State of the State and budgetary address. And some of that speech laid bare how Illinois is facing difficult financial times that could require cuts to popular programs.
There's a whole industry of backseat bellyachers in the state and around the country who make a profession out of rhetorically tearing down Illinois and suggesting that if we would just enact one of their magic bean fixes, that we would never face another difficult budget year. But there's one thing that I've learned as governor: there are no magic bean fixes. And each year there's some difficulty that requires us to work hard to overcome it.
But to be candid, a bad budgetary situation is not unusual. In fact, Missouri is going through that right now. The clear thing that stood out in the Democratic chief executive speech was the blistering criticism of President Donald Trump and billionaire Elon Musk. Pritzker took the extraordinary step of comparing the early days of the second Trump administration to Nazi Germany.
If you think I'm overreacting and sounding the alarm too soon, consider this. It took the Nazis 1 month, 3 weeks, 2 days, 8 hours, and 40 minutes to dismantle a constitutional republic. And all I'm saying is that when the five-alarm fire starts to burn, every good person better be ready to man a post with a bucket of water if you want to stop it from raging out of control.
So there is a lot to unpack with Pritzker's address. And who better to do the unpacking than Will Bauer, STL PR's Metro East reporter. He covered Pritzker's address with STL PR visuals editor Brian Munoz. Will, welcome back to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Hey, Jason.
Let's start with the budgetary part first. What did Pritzker say about Illinois' financial status in his speech?
Well, I think Pritzker and both Republicans and Democrats are gearing up for what they're describing as it's going to be a challenging year to get a balanced budget. But that's the goal, so it's going to take a little more moderation than probably the Democrats in supermajorities in both the House and Senate are maybe used to under the six previous years of the Pritzker administration.
Did you get a sense from the speech why the revenue situation is not as good as in years past?
So pandemic financial aid from the federal government is a big key to that. And yeah, they were projecting a $3.2 billion budget deficit in November. Now, the governor's office released a new forecast on Wednesday morning that is looking a little bit rosier, but we can get into those details later. But yeah, it's still going to be a challenging year.
Yeah, and in the clip in the introduction, Pritzker alluded to Illinois' long history with budgetary calamity. I mean, I'm an Illinois native, and I can't tell you how many people have said, "Is your state still bankrupt, or how broke is your state?" And you know, it's gotten better. But I think the big question is, what is Pritzker planning to do to deal with the downfall in revenue?
Yeah, so this is still his biggest budget proposal ever. It's a 3% spending increase. Most areas are not going up. The exceptions would be spending on education, spending on pensions, spending on healthcare, but there are going to be some cuts that may be unpopular with some, particularly probably House Democrats. Those would be $145 million less in economic development spending. And then the one that will really and has ticked off the Latino caucus is cutting a program called health benefits for immigrant adults. It's a Medicaid-like program for some adults, some adult immigrants without legal status that have been a long-time target of Republicans in Springfield, but yeah, it's definitely one that there's going to be some negotiating over, even though Pritzker said he'd like to get rid of it this year.
I'm not claiming to be a subject matter expert on the inner workings of the Illinois legislature, but I am a subject matter expert on the Missouri legislature, and I do know that in the last few years there have been really obvious and heated disagreements within the Republican supermajority. I have not really seen a similar dynamic where the Illinois Democrats fight amongst themselves so much they can't get much done. Is it possible that some of Pritzker's proposals with the budget here could make the Democratic reality in the legislature less harmonious than usual.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a real possibility. I think locally here, Katie Stewart, who's the now assistant majority leader of House Democrats, would say that she's been someone who's preached a little more fiscal responsibility in years prior. But for the most part, with Democratic supermajorities and good state revenues coming in, the Democrats have been able to get what they want. But yeah, this is a year where there may be some internal disagreements among the Democratic caucus, for sure.
I know you talked with some Republicans reacting to the budgetary part of his speech. Can you elaborate on what they ended up saying about Pritzker's plan to bridge the bad financial situation?
So I think some are excited to hear him say things like there's going to be no new taxes and we're going to need to be a little more moderate, because of course they've been saying that for a long, long time. That's a pretty cool, pretty typical Republican stance. But I think some of them are also a little more skeptical because they were headed in thinking, you know, there's going to be this $3.2 billion deficit, which is right going to be a real problem. But then the new forecast came out from the governor's office and they're saying, what the heck? You know, are you just picking and choosing between forecasts that, you know, may look a little bit better on paper?
But I read about that too. Before the speech, it was like $3.1 billion deficit. And suddenly he comes out and says, it's a balanced budget. I have the magic beans to balance the budget. You may have already said this, but what was with the discrepancy there?
It was a new December forecast from S&P that would have said there's going to be $2 more billion in state revenue that's coming in. And then when you throw everything together, there's more money than we thought. So that's why I think some Republicans are like, well, you're just picking, you know, the new revenue that looks, or the new forecast for revenue that looks better.
We saw this with Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe's State of the State speech, but the less than robust budgetary situation tempered a lot of programmatic desires. Did you hear anything from Pritzker in terms of new things he wants to see done in the next year?
Not in terms of budget, but in terms of legislation, of course. He's got some ideas. Maybe one of the most bipartisan that drew applause from both sides of the chamber was legislation taking on PBMs, or pharmaceutical benefit. Man, that's a mouthful.
It's okay.
Benefit managers.
I've had some trouble today too, but continue.
And I think people from both sides of the aisle, Democrats, Republicans, would say PBMs are the middlemen of the healthcare industry and they're driving up everyday costs of prescription prices. So he's introduced legislation to rein in those costs. He's proposing a second round of medical debt cancellation, just like last year. Last year, he also had lots of legislation proposed around taking on the medical insurance establishment. So this proposal, the proposal this year, is banning prioritization for behavioral health care. Another popular proposal was banning cell phone use in classrooms. Other states have done that. And then two on education would be, he proposed a bill that would let teenagers know before they apply that they qualify for admission to state universities. And he proposed allowing community colleges to offer four-year degrees for certain in-demand programs.
Do you find it interesting that both Republicans and Democrats at the state legislative level have joined hands in saying that we need to ban kids from using cell phones in schools? Because I've noticed that has become a remarkably popular proposal over the last couple of years.
Yes, and bipartisan support. So I suppose that is interesting, but maybe that shows there are still things that both Democrats and Republicans agree on in 2025.
I don't want my kids playing Roblox when they're supposed to be learning math. But okay, let's move on to the final part of Pritzker's speech, where he specifically compared the president of the United States administration to the rise of Nazi Germany. Here's another clip from the governor's address.
I do not invoke the specter of Nazis lightly, but I know the history intimately and have spent more time than probably anyone in this room with people who survived the Holocaust. Here's what I've learned. The root that tears apart your house's foundation begins as a seed of distrust and hate and blame.
That was Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker during this week's State of the State and budgetary address. Will, I know we can't read the governor's mind, but why do you think Pritzker decided to use this part of the speech to talk about what's going on in national politics, especially when his address is meant to address state-level concerns?
I think anyone who's paid any kind of attention to Illinois politics in the last 6 years knows that he's about as anti-Trump as you can get. And there are definitely a number of people, both Democrats and Republicans in and around Springfield, that believe he's probably one of the Democrats that will throw their hat into the ring in 2028 for the Democratic nominee for president. And this could just be another example of him, you know, positioning himself to make that kind of announcement, to be, you know, one of the more anti-Trump voices. And also, I think during the Veep stakes, when Kamala Harris was trying to pick a vice presidential nominee, our running mate in July, national polling showed that not many people outside of Illinois knew who Pritzker was. So when you have clips like this go viral, when you're saying something pretty provocative, that only helps, you know, gain a more national presence, so that when he maybe does announce in 2027, more people outside of Illinois know who he is.
I understand the information economy right now is very sparse because there's so much going on, but I do want to take a step back for a moment. The Jewish governor of one of the country's largest states compared the president of the United States to the rise of Nazism. As a Jewish person myself, I listened to that and I found it extraordinary. So I'm curious how legislators responded to that, because I don't think that a Jewish politician compares the president to Nazis flippantly.
Yeah. And Democrats definitely gave a standing ovation. It came right at the end of his address, I think, like you said. And there was a standing ovation. I think there's probably, right, a lot of Democrats that were pretty perturbed by the last month and some change of the Trump and Trump administration and the way they've governed this country. So, yeah, that's not surprising. But other side of the aisle, Republicans were pretty much quiet and seated.
Well, I know you caught up with Representative Amy Ehlich of Godfrey, who was extremely unhappy with Pritzker's remarks.
I thought it started out well and then took a very dark and disturbing turn is exactly what I thought of it. And I probably said those same words to you last year, because I do remember a shift last year. But this time, I think every Illinoisan should be really offended. He literally drew a line between people that are upset about inflation and rising government spending to Nazi Germans before World War II. It was really disgusting, frankly.
That was Amy Ehlich of Godfrey reacting to Pritzker's speech. Did other Republicans share her sentiments?
Yeah, they absolutely did. She's definitely not alone in those remarks, and it's the leader of their party, so they kind of feel like even if you don't like him, you still need to respect the office. And there were even reports that some Republicans walked out when he started drawing those lines between the Trump administration and the Nazi government.
I'm not really sure, though, if like in a state like Illinois, and I know we talked like a few months ago about how Illinois shifted rightward in the presidential race, but it's still a heavily Democratic state. And a lot of the Jewish people that I grew up with in suburban Chicago are pretty Democratic minded. So I'm not really sure if this is going to be as damaging to Pritzker as maybe Republicans want to think. That's sort of my back of the napkin analysis. What do you think?
Yeah. No, I think he comes across as a guy who's pretty calculated. So I think if he thought he was really risking something, he wouldn't do it. But this seems like a pretty calculated thing to do to maybe get some national attention and be a thorn for Trump.
Has Pritzker said he's running for a third term yet?
He has not.
He has not said that.
And I can't remember exactly when he said he would make that decision, but that's coming up here pretty quick, because that'd be 2026. So I would imagine you would probably want to hear something by middle of 2025, late 2025.
Yeah, I have actually thought a little bit about this, because I agree with you. Pritzker is, I would say at this point, likely to run for president in 2028, since there's no Democratic incumbent. And I think that he has to weigh the cost-benefit analysis of running as a sitting governor and being accused of neglecting his duties, or forgoing a third term, potentially letting his lieutenant governor, Juliana Stratton, become governor and be one of, if not the first, black female governor in America. But then he would be running as a former elected official.
And I think there's probably more strength running as a sitting governor. Maybe you disagree with me, but I would just imagine there would have to be more strength as a sitting governor. But maybe the calculus is, depending on how this year goes fiscally for the budget, you know, if it's going to be tough to get reelected because turns out the budget is really, really bad, maybe hard to get reelected in 2026. So it's not worth it to, you know, be a bad sitting governor. You'd rather be a governor in good standing running in 2028.
Well, that's what happened with Chris Christie in New Jersey. By the time he decided to run for president in 2016, his approval ratings were at like 20%. And like the bloomlet had, you know, shriveled up by that
You wanted
point.
To do it sooner, yeah.
But, in, you know, the one example of a former governor becoming president is Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter wasn't actually the sitting governor of Georgia, but then you have George W. Bush and Bill Clinton, who were the sitting governors. We actually have not had a governor president in quite some time. I guess my final question, though, is, like, Pritzker is not going to be the only person who wants to run for president in 3 years. How is exactly is he going to be able to stand out in what could be a crowded field?
I think pending the financial situation in Illinois doesn't get any worse, and he's, you know, and maybe this proves if, you know, this year's going to be a little more moderate, he can say, you know, I haven't been a super duper liberal person. But he's pretty much everything he campaigned on in 2019, he got done. It was abortion, it was weed, it was infrastructure, all those things he said he was going to do, he got done. And of course, he does have Democratic supermajorities backing him up, but I think he's probably got a lot to say. A lot of things to say, you know, I campaigned on this and we were able to get it done.
In the last 30 seconds, what else are you looking for outside of Governor Pritzker's State of the State address in your coverage of the Metro East?
We've got some interesting primaries that I don't know if we'll entirely get into, but we've got some interesting primaries over in Illinois. We've got a mayoral race in Cahokia Heights and in Belleville that all should be interesting. Alton's up for re-election too. So yeah, it'll be lots of elections to look forward to, Jason.
Well, I'm looking forward to following along because I have Illinois values, even though I live in Missouri. Will Bauer is St. Louis Public Radio's Metro East reporter. Will, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Jason.
Today's episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.